Come here, Justin, before you leave. Corey. I tell you what's on my heart this morning. You know, this is our Thanksgiving week, you know, weekend before Thanksgiving. And all of us, you know, we've been seeking the Lord. And just, you know, I know you as well as I have been just trying to think about all the things that I'm grateful for and thankful for. And the Spirit of God spoke to me so clearly. If you'll, now, in the name of Jesus, I bind anything hindering. And I say that you have eyes to see and ears to hear. You say it with me. I have eyes to see and ears to hear. Amen. The Spirit of God very clearly said, if you will take heed to what I say today, this is going to be a turnaround Thanksgiving. A turnaround Thanksgiving. And he's going to put some things together that we didn't think was possible. Amen. And so I want to use these two young men. Come here for a second. For those of you who don't know the story, my grandfather, probably on the earth, the closest person I was ever to, this side of what God has done in my life through my church family. I'm talking about, you know, in the natural. And so he was 90 years old, and I'd been witnessing to him for years, and he never would. He believed that when you died, you was like a dog. And so anyway, in June, before he died, passed in November, just before his 91st birthday, he accepted Jesus. And the reason why he accepted Jesus was because of those seeds that were sown, the goodness of God, the grace of God alone. Amen. But God used these two men. These two men would go down there with Donna and I and with Kayla and Victoria, and they would sing and play the guitar, because before he got to where he couldn't get out, he loved to go to singings. And so I want them to know how thankful I am that they used the talent that God gave them. And I want them to know that standing right there, the Holy Ghost explicitly said to me that they had a direct impact on him coming to salvation. And I say that to say this. In your life, the impact that you have is greater than you've ever realized. And so I want you to get ready to be so thankful for your impact. And I want you to know that your impact is going to turn somebody's Thanksgiving around. And I want you to know that the last person that you have sought to believe that they could be turned around, they can be turned around. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's give God praise. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you. We acknowledge that every good gift comes down from you. Lord, we're thankful, Lord, for vessels. We're thankful for vessels, and we're thankful for what you do through your vessels. You get all the glory. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. Love you. Appreciate it so much. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Open up your Bibles to the book of Colossians, and let's look at a prison epistle. The Apostle Paul penned this in prison, and he's talking to you and I about being thankful. I don't know about you, but as the Lord dropped this message in my heart, I have had a trying of whether I was going to stand on the Word or I was going to yield to what I was feeling and seeing. You ever been there? You know what I'm talking about? Come on now. And so this morning, you and I, here's what the Lord says. You're going to either have a turnaround Thanksgiving and be thankful, or you're going to be troubled. You've got to choose. I've got to choose. It's going to be one or the other. It's going to be thankfulness or troubled. I choose thankfulness, don't you? Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Let's read verse number 1 first, and then we're going to drop down. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ. How many born again people we got? Come on. Hallelujah. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Let's go ahead and keep going. Verse 2. Set your affection, set your heart on the things above, not on the things of the earth. Why? Verse 3. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Aren't you glad of that? Now, for sake of time, drop down, since we've had a resurrection, drop down to verse number 11. Verse 11. Colossians 3:11. Now, in Jesus, There is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian or Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, bowels of mercies, plural, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, two different things, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. How do we do these things? Verse 14, and above all these things, put on charity, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. And be ye thankful. Brother Whitby, would you pray? Yes. Yes. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much. Thank you, Brother Whitby. Hallelujah. It's just against our fallen nature. Thank God we've got a new nature. But it's against the old man. It's hard for the old man to be thankful. You know, they done a study, and they took a group of parents who wanted to participate with their children, and so they done a survey, and they were watching the words that the parents were teaching the children as they were, you know, coming up the year, 18 months, 2 years old, trying to learn them how to speak and so forth. And in this particular survey, out of these couple hundred kids, 27% of them very quickly and very easily could say hi. You know, it become a normal routine of them. 25% of them would say bye. It was just second, you know, it was pretty easy. But only 7% could say thank you. Now, doesn't that tell us something? Because, come on, it's hard for us sometimes to say thank you. It's hard for us to have an attitude of gratitude. Because when things are being misconstrued by the enemy, when trouble comes in your life and my life, he has the tendency to, it's like a magnet, and it tries to pull us to the negative. But you and I, if we're going to have a different type of the end of this year, coming into a new year of 2020, of being able to see clearly by the Word of God. Come on, we're going to have 2020 vision by the Spirit of God. And the way it's going to start is we're going to finish this year in a place where we're going to be thankful for what God has done in the past. But by faith, we're going to believe what He's already done, and it's going to come to pass. Amen? Hallelujah. So let's look at these verses of Scripture, and let's see how we can apply them this morning. Now notice, Paul talks about this resurrection that has happened in your life and in my life. We know that we've been raised from the dead because we've been baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. And now we have the ability to seek what is real and what's true rather than to seek a temporary satisfaction. We can seek the real thing. We can seek the reality of relationship with Jesus. And so this morning, we've got to see three things. That when we take the Word of God within, we understand who we are without. Come on now. You know, when you got born again, when you raised from the dead, all of a sudden you recognize some things. And we'll look at three things that Paul brought up that will help you and I be in a place where when the trouble comes, we can be thankful because we know who we are and we know where we're going. Amen. So it's about what's within. It's about what's without. And when we get that settled in our spirit and we start walking by faith in that, then we are in a place where with all things we can have peace. We can have thankfulness rather than have trouble. Amen. All right. Let's look at this. He said in verse number 12, he said, put on. So here's the without. Okay, this is what you have got to renew your mind. I've got to renew my mind to this reality, what the Word says. And if I'll do this, all of a sudden, when trouble comes, it won't affect me because I'll be thankful for where God's delivered me from. Amen? All right. He said, put on, therefore, look at the number one, as the elect of God. In other words, what everybody sees around me, and see, the devil wants to keep you from seeing who you truly are. The devil, all he can do is talk about the old man because he doesn't understand the spiritual. So he can't talk to you about that. He can't. What he wants to do is pull your focus, pull your attention, pull your concentration and your faith off of what God has done in your life and make you remember and take you back to how you used to look at things and how you used to feel. And so we need to recognize that method of operation, and we need to say no. And we go, now I'm not going to be troubled by what's happening in my life. No, in the name of Jesus, I'm thankful. I'm thankful that I'm born again. I'm born from above. I'm blood washed. I am named into the family of God. And God said for me to put on my revelation, His revelation, that I am elected. Come on. This word elected means chosen. Chosen. Divinely chosen. God looked down throughout all the eons of time and He said, in this year of 2019, I want this person, I want that person to be a part of my church, for the gates of hell's not coming against it. I want them to stand in the midst of trouble, in the midst of struggle, and I want them to be thankful and to allow all to see that I'm real and genuine. Amen? The elect of God. Hold your place here. Let's go to a very familiar verse of Scripture, and let's build our faith. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Notice what he said in verse number 2. Now, I want you to think about this just for a minute. 1 Peter 2 and 2. As newborn babes, come on, this is when you got born again. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Now, I want you to think about this. Brother Whitby, if you were looking to get somebody to help you, you got a bad situation with a lawnmower, and you're going to have to pull that motor off and put another one on, you wouldn't go ask Corey if you could get Stephen to help you, would you? But God chose me, chose you, even though I was a babe in His truth, in His teachings, because He knew what I could do, what you could do if we said yes to Him. Now, stay with me. Drop down to verse 9 for sake of time. It says, now He's talking about the newborn babes. Look at verse 9. That ye are a chosen, same Greek word, you are a chosen generation. A babe, as far as what the world looks at, they go, you know, a lot of times they look at you and they think, man, they don't know, come here from Sikkim. But God says, you know it all, because you're willing to be led by His Spirit. And He said, I chose you where you're at, and I know what you're going through. And if you'll be thankful when the troubles come, you're going to be in the place to see that I chose you not to bow down, not to be defeated. I chose you to overcome. Glory! That's what God done. Now, think about this. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Come on. The priest of God. The priest of God is the one who went in to the secret place, what they were leading us in worship in. And they brought honor and revelation of God out of that place to the whole people around them. That's what you're doing. Come on now. You are somebody. You've got so much to be thankful for. And the reason why you got so much trouble coming against you is because the devil wants to stop it. You said it so well in Sunday school class. The devil has a plan. He has an agenda to stop the will of God, to stop Jesus from being exalted. But that's not going to happen because you're willing to yield to the Lord. Amen? You're willing to trust the Spirit. And so here you are. You're chosen by God. He has named you as part of His priesthood. And it says that you are a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who have called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now, as soon as you start to do what God tells you to do, I know you know this. I'm just here to remind you. I'm just here to encourage you. But as soon as God, the Spirit of God speaks to you and you start to do it, if hell don't come against you, then you need to say, wait a minute, what's wrong? Because the minute that you hear from God and you start to do what He said, I promise you, somebody's coming against you. And it may be your spouse, it may be your children, it may be your boss, it may be a coworker, I don't know, it may be a neighbor, who, it doesn't matter who it is. It's not that individual, it is the devil trying to work through them. But what the devil is doing is confirming who you are. You're a child of God, you're not going to be troubled by it, you're going to be thankful. You're going to be like the Apostle Paul. Paul there in that prison, penning this letter, but yet he's thankful. He's thankful because he knows who he's serving, he knows where he's going, and he knows that this moment of time is just an opportunity to get somebody else saved. That's what this life's all about. That's all it's about, is to getting Jesus exalted and bringing somebody else into the sheepfold. Amen? So I want you to see this, that you got to put this on. He said, put this on. This is an external thing. You've got to walk around knowing that you're chosen by God. None of this, see, I have a tendency, I don't want to look up. I don't feel worthy to look up. I don't feel all of these things. But we've got to look up because we're somebody because God said we're somebody. Amen? Now, if God said that you were elect, He cannot lie. So why would I want to argue with God? See, Saul, before he became Paul, he spent a great deal of his life kicking against the pricks. Remember, Jesus told him, said, you ain't been in a good place, have you, boy? It's hard. So, but now, it's going to be easy in the spirit, but hard in the flesh. See, before it was hard in the spirit, but easy for his flesh. Trouble. When you have trouble in the flesh, rejoice. Rejoice because you're making a stand for God. You're making a stand for the will and the plan of God. So on this Thanksgiving week that we're coming into, be in the place and the position not to let anything trouble you. Turn it to Thanksgiving. Go, oh, I thank you, God. Something good's coming out of this. Come on, your God promised you that He would turn good things better, bad things glory. Hallelujah. We got to believe the Word. Amen. All right, notice what he says. Verse number 10. Now, this is where you and I were before. Who in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Mercy is in your birthright. Come on now. The mercy of God. That means everything the devil tries to say, well, because you did this, this, and this. Come on, somebody needs to hear this. You forget about what happened in the past. Don't let that get you in a place where the devil causes you to accept a false judgment of God. Amen? I'm being careful. I don't want to look at anybody. Listen to me. You've got to hear this. You've got to walk in this reality. You have obtained mercy. Mercy. Jesus took it all on the cross for us. And so now there's a clean slate there. And just because the devil says, well, you did this, so this, you're going to have to deal with this. Come on now. I talked to a lady. And she thinks because of this, this, and this, this is going to be the rest of her life. No, that's not the kind of God we serve. He is a God that can take all of my mistakes and He can use it for His glory. Amen? And I want you to stand in that. I want you to rejoice in that reality. All right, so what do we put on first? We put on the realization that we are the elect. We're the chosen ones. And let's go back. Go back with me. And let's reread that in Colossians. He said, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy. Boy, now, that's something that the devil sure doesn't want us to realize that we have on a robe of righteousness. Come on. When you got born again, Jesus Himself put it on you. It's His robe. And that makes the devil so mad because, see, you can go where the devil can never go. And you can do what the devil used to lead in. Glory! Now, I want you to think about this. Go into the book of Hebrews. Hold your place there in Colossians. We'll be back. I believe it's Hebrews 10:10. Look at this. Same Greek word. Hebrews 10:10. Well, let me read verse 9. It says, then said He, this is Jesus talking, lo, I come to do Thy will, O Lord. He taketh away the first, talking about the Old Testament, that he may establish the second, talking about the New Testament, the New Covenant. Now, by the New Covenant, verse 10, by the which will are we sanctified through the offering by the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Sanctified, that's the same word, holy. Glory, once and for all. See, the devil used to try to, he kept me in a place where, boy, I can pray real good this week because I've come to church, I've given the offering, I haven't bowed Math Donna. Come on, I haven't looked at something I shouldn't have looked at, hadn't said something I shouldn't have said. Oh, I'm doing good. I can really pray. Malarkey. When I'm struggling the most and all I can barely do is get my nose up out of the water, that's when my prayers are the most genuine and the most powerful, because that's when my God shows up on the scene because I need Him the most. Amen? That's the kind of God you serve, and that's the kind of God you're going to introduce to a lost and dying world, a God that will meet them where they're at, and He will help them in the midst of their sin, and He will clean them up. Amen? Come on, glory! We got something to be thankful about. We're going to have a turnaround Thanksgiving, and it's all because Jesus done it, and it was done once and for all. Once and for all. We don't have to redo it. We don't have to look for it again. We just have to hold on to the hand of the Master. Amen? All right, go back to Colossians. He said, put on therefore, come on the outside, without, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Yes. Beloved. Now, you got to believe that you're, when you got born again, that God, He saved you because He loved you. But you got to believe that He deposited His love in you. And He made you, He named you His own. See, all of a sudden, when I start walking in that reality and I go through the troubled world, and the world has all of these... Hunters or people who like to go hiking. You know, this time of year, you come out of the woods, what do you got all over your britches? Beggar lies. See, that's what the world tries to do. They try to... you're just walking along through life, and they try to just get on you, and they try to hide what the real you is. But the world can't hide the reality that God names you His child. Yes. Come on, you got to put this truth on. And as you walk in this world, and things try to stick to you, no way, because there's an anointing on your life. It may touch you, it may try to hinder you, it may cause this little sidestep, but you're going on. Yes. Amen. 1 John, hold your place in Colossians. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 1. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 1. Behold, now that's a word that means God's saying, I want you to see it by the Spirit. I want you to see it in your spirit, because if you can see it in your spirit, it'll change your attitude for everyday life. He said, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed, that's the beloved, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew Him not. Should be called, should be named. Named the sons of God. Now, God named you the sons of God. And Romans 8 tells us that the sons and the daughters of God are led by the Spirit of God. That means that everything you do and everything you say, you have an assurance that you can say, God, I don't know what to do here. And all of a sudden, you're not playing in the dark. You're not walking by chance. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit will say, do this. Yeah. Come on now. We've got so much to be thankful about. We're not going to be troubled. We're going to walk in a place of success and victory for the glory of God. Notice verse 2. He said, beloved. There's the word again. That's what you've got to put on the outside without. Beloved. Someday. Glory. Right now. At this moment. Amen. But beloved, now are we the sons, the daughters, the children of God. And it doeth not yet appear what we shall be. Come on now. Don't let what you see in the mirror affect you. Don't let what you see or feel in this flesh. Come on. I don't know about you, but my flesh don't like people. My spirit loves them. So I'm a child of God. You're a child of God. I've put on the realization of the beloved. Somebody needs to hear this. You're needed. You're needed. You're holding yourself back. You're I know I'm talking to myself first. You can't be separated. You can't be separated. You got to put yourself in the midst and say, I'm not going to sink. I'm going to swim for the glory of God. I'm going to meet the need at hand. Amen. You can do it because that's what God's calling you to. And this is part of you being able to be thankful. And it's part of you being able to resist the trouble. All right. He said, beloved, now are we the sons of God, the daughters of God, and do not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Think about it. It's not going to be very long. You and I, we're going to paint yourself. We're going to put off this old flesh. Oh, we're going to have a glorified body. And it's going to be so wonderful and so magnificent. But right now, we're walking by faith. We're walking by faith. And you have the power of the Spirit of God bringing the Word of God in your life to be able to put that flesh down, to bring it under subjection. I want you to know this. No matter what it feels like, no matter what's happened in the past, the devil is a liar. Your flesh cannot make you sin. It's dead. Come on now, your born-again spirit has the life of Jesus Christ in it. That's your victory. That's your deliverance. Now, I'm trying to get you to a place of elevation. Trouble comes. But we're thankful that we're overcomers, come on, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So you hang on to Jesus, and you're going to see that victory come more and more in all these areas of your life. And the more that you teach it, the more that you preach it, the more that you live it, the more that you witness it, let me tell you, trouble will be all around you. But you stand on the Word, and it'll come to pass. Amen? Come on, this is important. There are going to be some things happen in the next little while that's going to shake your flesh, but it's going to assure you in your spirit that God talked to you ahead of time and got you in a place of great victory. Amen? All right. All right. Go back to Colossians. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for your patience. Colossians chapter 3. Now that we looked at without, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy. Now we're getting to the within part. We're getting to the within. You know what people see on the outside, whether you can see it or not, people can see it. We're our own worst critic. Amen? But on the inside, this is the part that you have got to draw strength from. You've got to realize that there's an option, there's a choice. You have to choose whether you believe the Word of God and you act on it or not. I have to make a choice. And my choice here is, am I going to do what He said? Now, I'm going to have to, and I hope that y'all go with me, but I'm going to have to start preaching a little different than I ever have preached before. And I'm going to have to start preaching a little harder than I've ever preached before. Because what God is wanting to do in and through this particular group of believers, we have got to let the Word of God prune us and purge us and take us to the next level. And so I ask that you come with me and you help me because I'm weak. Jesus is my source of strength, but we draw strength from one another. Do you realize that there's 1,050 commands in the New Testament? 613 in the Old Testament. But yet, people say, I don't have to do anything. We're going to have to start teaching the truth. Okay. So put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Now notice this. Now we'll get to the bowels. The bowels is the inside of you, your desires. The bowels of mercy. The desire of mercy. See, I don't know, used to, I was thinking, I've been meditating on these scriptures and trying to figure out how to apply them. And all of a sudden, my flesh went to what somebody had done to me. And I was thinking about them. This happened 30 years ago. And I was thinking, that jerk. I hope they got what they was coming to. And then here comes these scriptures. Put on bowels of mercies. Oh, did that discourage me? No. Don't you see? The devil knows how to push your buttons and my buttons to try to make us think that the Word is not real, that the Word is not working. So instead of getting, before, years ago, I would have got on a pity party, and I'd had 2 or 3 days where I'd have been just totally distraught and weak and whining and begging to God. But no, I had the Word. If when you got the Word, you got the power. And the Word was, put on bowels of mercy. So, devil, I don't feel that way. That's a thought. That's what I felt 30 years ago. I don't feel that way now. Now, by the Spirit of God, I have on the inside of me mercies. Because why? Because God's my Father. God's your Father. The Bible says, Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, that your Father was the Father of mercies. Woo! Come on, we're not going to be troubled. We're going to be thankful. I can give mercy because God gave me mercy. Come on, there is a seed in me. There is a seed in you. Amen. I'm thankful. I'm thankful. I'm going to shift everything by the Word of God. I'm not going to believe what I see. I'm going to let the Word of God set the parameter of what's right. Amen. Now notice this. There's 8 things here. We don't have time, obviously. But the bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. All of these things, we do it with love. But he said, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. You and I, we've got to be in a place where sometimes you're just going to have to put up with me. Just put up with me till you can see why I'm doing what I'm doing, why I'm at where I'm at. See how God would have you to pray. Because God put up with me, and He put up with you. So I can forbear anybody with the help of the Holy Ghost. You can forbear anybody. But at the same time, we've got to recognize that there's a season where we do that and we operate in that. And then after that season, God wants some things to change. And if they won't change, we forgive them, like He said, for not allowing the change, but we don't allow them to change us. Amen? So this is the key of how you and I are going to be not troubled by the things that's happening around us. This is how we can be in a place of peace. And we can be in a place where we can say, God, the mercy that changed me, it'll change them. And if it won't change them, then, Lord, I'm going to put up with it. I'm going to forgive them if they won't let it happen. But I'm going to trust You to move everything out. Come on, God, don't let things stay. He gives opportunities, and then He moves things along. Amen? So you just trust in that and hold to that. All right, now stay with me. He said, we forgive because Christ forgave us. That's simple enough. That's powerful enough. But I want to get down to verse 14. And above all these, above all the others, He said, put on charity. Come on. In other words, you and I, we have to make a conscious decision that we recognize that upon our intestines, our insides, our mindset, I need to put love on that. And in other words, because this is what he's talking about, bowels, it means your emotions. And so my emotions can be good or bad, and with God's love, they can always be good. So I need to put the love of God on those emotions. Because, see, Jesus, He got angry. You remember that? He had righteous indignation. He got so mad that He snorted there in John 11. He snorted. It's the same word that they would use for a great stallion. But He did not sin. So don't let the devil get you on a guilt trip. Let the love of God be on all of your emotions, and you'll walk in a place where you're not troubled, but you can be thankful. You can say, thank You, Lord, that I see these things. I understand these things. I'm walking to a new place. All right. Now, he said, if we would do this, it would keep us in the bond of perfectness. In other words, that word makes us nervous. It would make us complete. Don't you? Isn't that exciting? And that word bond, grab right here behind your leg. This ligament that you got right here. That's what the word is. The love of God is the ligament of peace. Come on, peace keeps you from being in trouble. when I get out of love, I have no peace. Because I get a very judgmental attitude, a very judgmental spirit, and I have problems. But when I walk in that love and I allow it to be shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit, it caused me to be thankful. Thank you, Lord. I'm not judging that situation. I'm just thankful I'm not in it. And I'm thankful that you're bringing them out of it. Amen? Me and Donna was having a conversation, and she said something about a situation, and she looked at me and waited for me to say something. I said, I'm sorry. I can't say anything, because if I do, I will curse this situation. And she looked at me like, boy, this is a miracle. God must really be on the scene, because usually... So we got to know when to say something and when not to say something. Because the moment that we speak it out, it either gives ammunition to God and His angels. All right. So I want you to see this love of God that is inside of you that's affecting all of your emotion. It keeps you in a place where you're complete. Complete means what? Complete means that you can draw this from God. What does the Bible say in... look at just turn one page over and look at Colossians 2:10. See, when you're in the place where the love of God, you put it on your emotions, this happens. Colossians 2:10. And ye are complete. You are complete in Him which is the head of all principality and power. See, that's the completion. That's the bond of perfectness that Paul's talking about. And that's the place that keeps you from being troubled, but keeps you in the place of thanksgiving. Okay, quickly. Go back to verse number 15. This is how we do all of this, is by the love of God and the peace of God coming from that love. Verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. I've got to choose. Like Brother Corey said in Sunday school class, I've got to make a choice. I choose to let the peace of God rule in my hearts. Now this rule, it is a Greek word, barbio, and it means to govern, but it means to act as an umpire. And so I was thinking about that. Now this is so important, because I want you to be able to get this in your heart. When we're going through the struggle and the trouble, when everything is coming apart around us and the devil is attacking and the flesh is screaming and all of these things, you've got to come back to this choice of letting God's peace rule. Now, see, if you're in a situation, let's say that you're on a roller coaster. Y'all just went to Magic Spring. Let's say you're on one of those rides. When you get on the ride, you're out of control. Whoever's operating the ride, they're in control. And so there's a lot of things can happen. They can be screaming. They can be yelling. They can be nausea. Yeah. There can be a lot of things happen. But you can choose how you react, even though you're not controlling the ride to a certain extent. And where your ability to make the decision stops, that's where God starts. So we've got to let Him umpire. No matter what is happening around, I don't care what's happening around you and the devil's saying, but remember, this is what happened to your family member, or this is what happened to your friend. Don't let that influence you. You're not them. Amen? So let me use this example. June of 2010, the Detroit Tigers pitcher Armando Galarraga, He pitched a perfect game. But one man, there's 17,000 people in the stands that day, but Jim Royce, he called the last out safe. And he lost the no-hitter. He lost the perfect game. Even though 17,000 people saw what really happened, but he said what he said, and that's what's on the books. I don't care how many thousands of people around you are saying you can't prosper, you can't see your family saved, you can't see this happen, that happen. If God said it, you can stand on it. Amen? He is the umpire of your life, the umpire of my life. We've got to take it for what it is, truth. Everything else is a lie. Amen? Everything else. All right. Now, stay with me just 1 second. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye become thankful. Now, what's so interesting about this, be ye thankful? This word be, from the Greek, it means to let the generation power of the word, let it create in you an atmosphere, a reality of thankfulness. God's word will do it. So you, the devil says, well, you've got to do this and you've got to do that. No, I don't have to do anything. I just got to let the word, let Jesus work in my heart. And if I let that happen, it'll come to pass. Amen. But so many times, God is doing something in a way that we don't understand and we miss it. And I know I've missed it so many times, but I go home and sometimes after services and I just, and before I ever say anything, Donna said, leave it at the altar. Leave it at the altar. You can't do anything about it. You've done all you can do. And so that's what you've got to do. You've got to say, when I've done all I can do, I'm going to stand. I'm going to stand in the Lord. But I want to close with this thought. You know, Jesus promised us. Can I put John 16:33 up there? You know, if you can let the peace rule in your life, because Jesus knows about trouble. He knows all about trouble because he met every trouble that the world and the devil could bring against him. But look what he said. He said, these things have I spoken in you that you might have what? Peace. You can have it. In this world, you shall have. Come on, that's a fact. You shall have tribulation. This word tribulation is from a Greek word that means pressure. Come on, I mean, you can feel it. I don't know how it affects you, but the pressure, it hits me in my neck and my shoulders, and bam, I know what's coming. But he said, in this world, you're going to have this pressure. But he said, be of good cheer. I have overcame the world. So I've got to let this word, let it rule, let it umpire my life, my situation. Let's change some things. Let's stop going through the same circle and the same situation. Let's let the word of God change it. But let's let him do it however he chooses to do it. He may bring something to you that makes absolutely no sense to your situation, to your circumstance. But when you respond, it'll change everything. With that, I'll close with this illustration. Go back with me to Texas, 1920s. And there was a situation where this man, his buddy happened to be a lawyer, and he'd hired this lawyer to be able to take care of some multi-million dollar business for him at that time. And so after it was all said and done, the friend looked at the lawyer and said, I really appreciate your help in this litigation. And he pulled out this box and he handed it to his friend. And the lawyer, he opened up this box, and there was a very exquisite Morocco leather men's wallet. It had the lawyer's initials on it. The guy had put a lot of thought into it as he gave it to him. And the lawyer looked at it. He just tossed it back in the lap of his friend. He said, buddy, he said, what I've done for you would cost at least five, and we're talking about the 1920s. Not now, obviously. It would cost at least $500. And so his friend just very casually bent over, because the wallet fell on the floor. He bent over and he picked it up. He pulled out 10 $1,000 bills. Stuck it in his pocket. He stuck in five $100 bills and threw the wallet back to him. What God is wanting to give us is greater and bigger than we've ever imagined. Yeah. Don't look at it because you don't understand it or you don't see its value. Accept it, embrace it, and let God do what only God can do. Amen? Pray with me. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful for Your Spirit. I'm thankful for Your presence. I'm thankful, Lord, for the hand of God in our lives, Lord, that reveal to us tares, situations that would try to pull and hinder and hurt. And I thank You for bringing revelation and unction and You taking care of situations and circumstances. But those things that trouble Your people, I'm thankful, Lord, that You overcome all of those things that could trouble us. And Lord, we take You at Your word. We believe that this is going to be a turnaround Thanksgiving. And we're going to praise You and thank You ahead of time. And we just ask You right now in the name of Jesus that You would just show us those little things that we might have rejected in the past, that we might have misunderstood, and let us be able to accept that gratefully and thankfully and apply it to our lives where You can do what only You can do in our lives. Do that right now. We'll be quick to honor You and respond to what You say. We thank You for it. We're humbled by Your presence. And by the reality of what You're going to do to finish us out this year to get us ready for the coming year. Oh, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Would You come this morning? Would You come and make Yourself an altar and see what God would hand you? See the answer to your situation? Would you respond to the reality that God wants to do a great and mighty work in your life and my life? And it's there for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Remember, you're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You're an heir of God, but a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You're not a pauper. And you're a holy priesthood. You're chosen by God. You have some authority in your life. Use it this morning. Amen.